In 1983, Henry Nouwen, the famous Catholic spiritual writer, was in the village of Trosley, France. He was spending a few months at Les Arches, a community for people with disabilities. Nouwen had just completed a six-week tour across the country speaking out against violence in Central America. And he came to Les Arches physically and spiritually depleted. Nouwen admitted he was anxious, lonely, restless, and very needy. In a word, he was tired, dead tired. And one of his co-workers there invited Nouwen into her office. And on the door, a large poster was pinned. It was a reproduction of Rembrandt's masterpiece, The Prodigal Son. Nouwen, being Dutch, was of course interested in the most famous Dutch painter ever, Rembrandt. Now, when Nouwen first saw the picture, he said, "I could not take my eyes away from it. I felt drawn by the intimacy of the picture, the old man touching the young boy's shoulder. That picture reached into me in a place I had never felt before." Initially, Nouwen identified with the prodigal son, since he too was exhausted from his long travels. In describing the impact of this image, Nouwen said this, "It represents the ongoing yearning of the human spirit, the yearning for a final return, an unambiguous place of safety, a lasting home." Now, 3 years later, Nouwen had resigned his teaching position at Harvard University and had joined the Les Arches community in Toronto, Canada. But before going there, he was invited by a group of friends to tour the Soviet Union. They made plans to visit St. Petersburg to see the Hermitage, that world-famous museum. And housed in the Hermitage is Rembrandt's original painting of the Prodigal Son. So on Saturday, July 26, 1986, at 2:30 in the afternoon, Henry Nouwen saw for the first time the original painting of the Prodigal Son. He said this, he was amazed at the sheer size of this painting. It is 8 feet tall and 6 feet wide. For 2 hours, Nouwen stared in wonder and awe at this magnificent painting. And I invite you to go online and see it for yourself. 5 days later, Nouwen came back to the Hermitage and this time sat in a chair staring at that painting for 4 hours. Needless to say, it was a transformative moment. And when he left, he vowed he would never be without a reproduction of Rembrandt's masterpiece. So when he arrived in Toronto, the first thing he did was hang a reproduction of that painting in his office. The painting inspired Nouwen to write his wonderful book, The Return of the Prodigal, a book I highly recommend. His book invites us to identify with all three of the parable's main characters, the prodigal, the elder son, and of course the father. It's easy to see why Nouwen at first identified with the prodigal, limping home from a far country, just as Nouwen had limped home after a long tour across the United States. Both were depleted and exhausted. It is odd that Rembrandt himself may have felt the same way in the 17th century when he painted this picture. At the end of his life, Rembrandt was lonely and poor and depleted. In his youth, he had lived large, very famous, and very arrogant. And as a painter, he made lots of money, which he spent lavishly. And through it all, he was a man exceedingly hard to get along with. He was filled with resentments and often a desire for revenge. For all his genius, all his gains, there were many more losses. He lost his beloved wife, 3 sons, and 2 daughters. He then had an unhappy affair, after which the woman was committed to an asylum and there died. And another woman with whom he had a relationship also died. He was involved in numerous lawsuits and legal conflicts. His popularity as a painter had plummeted. He ended up essentially bankrupt, his paintings sold to pay off all of his debts. Yet thankfully, in his latter years, Rembrandt experienced a modicum of peace. He began to view the human condition with a much more sympathetic eye. He had suffered much, and now he began to paint the tragic dimensions in life, the heartaches and the heartbreaks. Rembrandt had become that young man on his knees, craving his father's embrace. He is the prodigal come home. Now, although much of the attention of this parable, and indeed the painting, are on the prodigal son, Nouwen insists that we must not forget the older brother over in the corner. He stands over against his father and over against his brother in every sense of the word. He is censorious and aloof, angry and upset. Nouwen admits that he, as an oldest child in his family, often resented his younger siblings, whom he said got away with murder. Like many dutiful children, he often disguised his real feelings. For the older brother, it was a bitter pill to swallow to see this younger brother receive such a lavish welcome. You can hear it in the complaint that he's worked all those years and never had a party. And now this younger brother, who he says wasted all of his money on prostitutes, is welcomed home with a feast. The bitter invective shows that the older brother, quote, no longer has a brother, nor any longer a father. He too is lost in a far country, that dark world of resentment. Now, the real hero of this parable, of course, is the forgiving father. It appears that he already knew the gist of this recent bestseller by Mel Robbins entitled The Let Them Theory. You seen that? As that theory suggests, he relinquished control of his son, even though it broke his heart. In contrast, I'm reminded of one of my favorite jokes. It goes like this. What is the difference between a Rottweiler and a Jewish mother? Well, the Rottweiler eventually lets go. And likewise, this loving father lets go and lets this vagabond child wander lost in a far country, far, far away. Some people wander and they're not lost. And some people wander and they're really lost. But when this broken son returns with all of his apologies, the father treated him not like a hired hand, but like a beloved son. This son of mine was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he is found. So he called for the best robe in the house, the ring for his finger, and sandals for his bare feet. My son is found. My son is alive. Prepare the fatted calf and let us celebrate. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. So the loving father embraces with unconditional love his son who ran away, and he seeks out the son who never ran away. His forgiveness extends to both, the kid who threw away everything and the kid who claimed he never got anything. He loves them both and invites them both to the celebration, this lovely homecoming. And so we were left wondering if the older son ever showed up, ever was reconciled. did he ever come home? Nouwen came to realize that in reflecting on this parable and Rembrandt's painting, there is something beyond the call to return. It is the call to become like the Father, loving, compassionate, a parent of both boys. Nouwen writes this, "When I first saw Rembrandt's prodigal son, I could have never dreamed that becoming the repentant son was only a step on the way to becoming the welcoming father. I now see that the hands that forgive, console, and offer a festal meal must become my own hands. Becoming the father for me is the surprising conclusion to all of my reflections on this parable." And perhaps that is the ultimate summons of this parable. It is about a young man who wanders off into a far country and returns broken and repentant. It is about an older son who stays at home and harbors his resentment against his brother and even his father. But most of all, it's about a father who reaches out in forgiveness to both his errant sons, one who was lost and then found, and the other who was lost and did not know it. So the challenge, brothers and sisters in Christ, is to become like the God who loves us with an unconditional love, the one who says to us, "Welcome home, my beloved child. Thanks be to God, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen.